See you here. Good to have those online. Kenny asked me to remind everyone that we have two remote mics that we can pass around to whoever's got a question or a comment. So please raise your hand. We'll get one of those mics to you. It's important not only for the people in here so they can hear you, but the people online as well can hear you then too. So you go through the microphone system, okay? So they'll help us quite a bit. So, shall we bow in prayer as we start our class tonight? God, our kind, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together, to study from your holy and divine word, to find out what you want us to do as followers of you and Christians, and to put that into practice. Continue to bless us in every way that you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What about the book situation? Do you have anybody that doesn't have a book? We good? Good. Thank you. So we're on page 65? Yeah, page 65 at the bottom. This chapter, our lesson, is the problem of time. At the bottom in Roman numeral 3, others have had the problem of time. The point before here was, we have a problem with time. Others before us have had a problem with time too. The problem of time is one of the major problems Felix failed to overcome. We're going to read these scriptures and make a few comments about them. So Paul preached to him the righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Doing right, self-control, would be temperance, another version says. So let's turn here now to Acts 24. Acts 24. And starting in verse 24, to the end of the chapter. So, chapter 24, verses 24 through 27. After certain days, or after a few days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, and that's important, she's from the Jewish faith, he sent for Paul. His wife may have suggested that, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So he sent for Paul, who was in prison, to bring him forth to see him. His wife was involved in this as well. In verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix, King James says, trembled. And he answered. The trembling kind of tells me that whatever message Paul had for him, it was getting to him, getting him emotionally involved. Go your way for this time. He said, go your way for this time, or at this time. When I have a convenient season or time, I will call for you. I think sometimes we stop there and we don't read the rest of this, because you could get the wrong impression by stopping there. Sounds like maybe he didn't call him back. Well, you're going to find out differently. 26. He hoped also that money should be given to him of Paul, that he might lose him. In other words, he was looking for what? Money to bribe him. He's a politician. He hoped that money should have been given him of Paul, that Paul would give him money, give him enough money so he would turn him loose. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener, more often, and commanded commune with him. So he kept bringing him back in front of him, hoping he could make a deal with him. Paul, if you put some money in my palm, I'd consider letting you go. Paul didn't buy into that either. So after 2 years, So this went on for a long time, didn't it? Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and he replaced him. He replaced Felix. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, to please the Jews, left Paul bound, left Paul in prison. He didn't get his money, so he didn't let him out. But we've always, sometimes we kind of stop with 25. It says that he called him back. Well, the next verse says he did call him back several times. But it still didn't get to him. He did not, never obeyed the gospel as far as we know. Trying to please, he's a politician still, trying to please everybody, not standing good for the, what he, Paul is trying to convince him that what Paul is telling him is right, but he never really got to him, at least he doesn't tell us they did, but he came back the offer, oftener, or more often, he kept coming back. Felix would say, I want to talk to them again. He'd come back, they'd talk. And again, maybe his wife had something, since she was of the Jewish faith herself, had something to do with that. But he did have the opportunity. He definitely had the opportunity.
Right.
Multiple times, yes. He had the opportunity and just never quite took the step that he needed to take. At least we weren't told that he did. I'm pretty sure that we would have been told if he did too. Okay, thank you. The word had such effect on Felix that he trembled, but he lost the battle of time. He said, go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. And again, that sounds like he's just delaying him, so forget about him. But he didn't. He kept coming back. Still didn't do any good. Still did not do what he needed to do to get to be converted. He waited for a convenient season. Better time. A lot of times people might do that when they have things to do. Well, you know, I really don't feel like doing that today. I think I'll wait till tomorrow. And tomorrow you say the same thing and eventually you don't do it. We've all done that. Better to take care of things as they come up. Don't put them off till tomorrow. Now, number two here. The foolish virgins were good women. But they failed to solve the problem of time, Matthew 25:1-12. They were in the kingdom, and they wanted to meet the bridegroom, and they had made some preparation, but not enough. The spirit of tomorrow was the cause of the rain, the ruin. They went forth to make more preparation, but it was too late, time ran out. There was 10 of these foolish virgins. How many of them were prepared to meet the bridegroom? Five of them, half of them. They all had lamps, evidently. But the five smart ones knew a lamp can't last forever. The kerosene that's in there, so they had another vial or bowl that had more kerosene or fuel in it. Five did not. Then they found out the bridegroom was coming back. He was on his way. And so then the five foolish ones, who didn't have the extra oil, went to the other five and said, hey, can you give us some of your oil? We ran out. And they were told, too bad. We came prepared and you didn't. That's your fault, not ours. So five were ready, five were accepted in, five were not ready, and they were not accepted in. Good story. how to manage our time. You can save time by not wasting it. There are many ways time is wasted. Is that right? Yeah, we do something sometimes and you say to yourself, why did I do that? I should do this instead. Maybe all of you don't talk to yourself, but I do. Lack of application. If we accomplish things, we must apply ourselves. Solomon said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Do the best job you can do. Because play is easier and more fun, the child refuses to apply himself very long. But we are adults, and as such, we should put away childish traits. Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things, 1 Corinthians 13:11. So acting my age is a problem. I should be. One of my lessons in life is to always act my age, act with maturity. Avoid a lot of problems that way. Reading cheap literature, number two here. The country is filled with demoralizing literature. Some is vulgar, some is suggestive, some is propaganda. What a waste of time and talent, paper and ink. As one reads, he thinks. My duty as a Christian is to think on higher and nobler things, Philippians 4:8. I can save my mind from evil thoughts by keeping it filled with good thoughts. Philippians 4:8, let's look at that one. This is a good list to read from time to time. See how we're doing, rating ourselves. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest or honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are in good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9 as well. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul's example, do these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. So that's what our minds should be dwelling on, not this other trash or things that certainly are not acceptable to God. Never dwell on those. Replace those kind of thoughts with good thoughts from this list. Unwholesome recreation. The world is pleasure mad and is waiting time in the dizzy pursuit of the same. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, 2 Timothy 3:4. And most of their pleasures are only mirages. In other words, they're not really there, just in your mind. Look like they would quench their thirst, but turn out to be only dried sand in the throat. Everyone needs recreation, but let's be sure it recreates. If it tears me down physically, mentally, morally, or spiritually, it is not recreation. It's dissipation, which means wasting time. Meditating on fanciful injuries is a very hurtful way to waste time. Carrying chips on the shoulder takes both strength and time that could be used constructively. Even though the wrong is real rather than imaginary, meditating upon it will bring only bitterness and frustration. Forget it. Leave it to the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Romans 12:19. That's a hard one, but that's certainly one we need to practice over and over and over. We don't need to do anything to get even or pay somebody back or to be evil against somebody. Let it go. The Lord will take care of it. Pondering past mistakes. No accountable being is perfect. Every life has its own weaknesses. Great men have made great mistakes. Paul declared that he had been what kind of sinner? Chief of sinners. Everything that Paul was doing to stop the early church from being established, he thought he was doing the right thing. He was 100% into it, and he was really causing a lot of turmoil for church, for the church in the early days. But then he learned the truth. And he worked even harder to get the truth out. It's quite an example that he left us. He made some great mistakes. He called himself chief of sinners, but he also switched to the other side and did a tremendous job. He put his past sins behind him. He declared, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before. Philippians 3:13. When God forgives sin, he forgets it. Hebrews 8:12. I think we've talked about that one three or four times lately. And so should we. It's hard, not easy to do, but that's what we're told to do. And we need to do that and work on that and try to get better and better and better. Number six, many people waste time worrying about what may happen in the future. That word may is a small word, isn't it? Causes a lot of trouble. Why be concerned about something that may happen or could happen? Be concerned about the day, not something that may happen tomorrow. We need the faith to accept the promise that God will work out all things for our good, Romans 8:28. We do not know the future, but we know God is in it, and this should suffice to quiet our nerves. And here are three time-saving rules. Turn loose of yesterday, for it is gone. Do not reach for tomorrow, for it has not come. Grab today, for it is here. So I want to read Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We heard that one quoted a lot. God is with us. We're trying to live our life godly in front of Him and His Son. God is with, will be with us. And we can get out of a number of things that we don't like when we get into, we can get back out of with their help. Gossiping or lending ears to gossipers. Gossiping or listening to gossipers is a sinful way to squander time. God has said, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. Leviticus 19:16. Yeah. What evil. What waste of time. We have lived long enough to know that 95% of all of our hurtful rumors are false. In playing gossip at parties, you learn that anything which is repeated three or four times cannot be recognized. Even if the story you repeat or to which you give your ears should be true, it is both a loss of time and injurious to if it hurts someone. Wounds for another. The words of the talebearer are as wounds, Proverbs 26 and 22. So one way I can solve the problem of time is by refusing to be a party to gossip by speaking it or by hearing it. Now he refers to this like playing gossip as a game, but you know what he's talking about? Probably most of you have seen it. You go to a party or a gathering, maybe you've got 10 people. You put them in a circle, and I'm going to lead off, and I'm going to tell you, the person next to me, this situation. Okay, I'm going to give them the details. And then when I get done, they take it, they tell the person next to them, so on and so forth. And it gets all the way back around. Guess what? What I told that first person is nothing like what comes back to me. It's been changed. People don't remember it. People forget parts of it. People add parts to it. No, I didn't say that. That's what he's talking about. You're just wasting your time. Just spinning your wheels, wasting time. What good does that do? It's funny. It's humorous. But it has no positive effect at all. And that's just a waste of time. Number eight, some waste time by lying in bed longer than is needful or helpful. Love not sleep, lest thou become come to poverty. Proverbs 20 and 13. We need both rest and work. It should keep the two in proper proportion. So if I sleep all the time and don't want to get up and do anything, and I've got a job, what's going to happen? I'm going to lose it. They'll find somebody that will be there. Right? And he says, come to poverty. If you don't have a job, you don't have any money, you're going to be in poverty real soon. His point is, you got to have a balance. As the sleep and the work, you got to work out a balance that's suitable to you and to your employer and everybody else around you. Don't just think that you can sleep it away on your schedule. Another devastation of time is unusually long telephone conversations. I knew a man who would argue with you that the telephone is an instrument of the devil. He had a point, even though I disagree. It can be an instrument of God. However, anyone can use it to invade privacy, your privacy, whenever he wishes and hold you longer than you deserve. It is an act of courtesy for me to state my business and get tough, get through, move on. A little bit of the golden rule applies here. I didn't have much of a problem with this one, but some people do. My dear mother, she had two, maybe three, at least two people who would call her and talk on and on and on and on. And she was such a nice person, she wouldn't tell them she had something else to do or just, I gotta go. I said, Mom, why do you do that? Well, I need somebody to talk to. Well, not for 2 hours, they don't. You got to give yourself a break, too. So it was a good thing. Good thing for her. When they came up with caller ID. And she could see who's calling and not answer. If she didn't have 2 hours to spend, you know. These people just assumed she did. So that helped her some, but still, she still might let it ring 5 or 6 times, and then she picks it up anyway. She was the one I learned from on that one. Many people kill time by crucifying it on the cross of disorganization. Every day they haphazardly run the gamut from A to Z and from Dan to Beersheba without spending enough time on any one thing to get a job done. If I would save time, I must get my work organized. And that's good for all of us. Organization, planning to do things, and sticking with the plan. Time is also wasted through slow movements. Paul once sent Silas and Timothy to come with him to him with all speed. That means what? Hurry. Get here as fast as you can. What's that, huh? Don't do that either. She said don't procrastinate. Don't do that either. That's one I think many of us do that too. Oh, I got enough time. I can do that tomorrow. I can do that the next day. No, you probably won't do it. If you're going to put it off, you probably won't do it. Lincoln, that's the President Lincoln, was known for many qualities, one of which was his wit. On one occasion, he rented a horse and buggy to go to town where he was scheduled to make a political speech. The opposition conspired for him to get the slowest horse in the livery, thinking he would be too late for the speech. They thought, well, if we give him the slowest horse you have, his speech time on the schedule will be over and he won't be able to say his speech. But when Lincoln returned, he said to the livery man, I suppose you keep this horse for funerals. No, he replied to the owner. Lincoln continued, well, I'm glad to hear that. For if you did, the chances are you wouldn't get the corpse to the cemetery in time for the resurrection. That's a long time. As a matter of fact, it hasn't come yet, has it? I can save time by moving faster, provided I do it advisedly. Hesitancy in making decisions will steal our time. I think this is a pretty good one, too. You're going to have to make a decision. get the facts you need and make the decision. Don't keep saying, I don't know enough, I got to do this, I got to do that. You don't need a ton of information. There's certain information, certain items. If you have a certain three questions maybe and you get all those answers in your head, make your decision. Don't hold everybody up. It keeps one, and you can use the word quandary here, puzzled. It's like being in a merry-go-round. We are against hasty decisions. That's bad, too. But dragging out the decision is not good either. The person who could never make up his mind is always being lagging behind. I must get the facts, weigh the facts, and then reach my decision. Are there any comments about the end of this chapter? Let me just finish this chapter up. Go to the review exercise on page 69. Yes. Why did the psalmist wish to number the days? Why did the psalmist, David in most cases, wish to number his days? I think I heard it. From Psalms 90 and 22. 19 and 12, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What question is asked in the Bible concerning idleness? This is from a parable in Matthew. These are workers, men who are supposed to be available to work, but they're asked the question, why have you been standing here all day and you're not out there working? If they wanted to be working, they could be working. If they really wanted to be working, they could be working. They're making an appearance, giving the appearance that they want to work, but they're not working. And the work's available. And they could do the work, but they chose not to do it. What question is that? No, that's the wrong one. Number three. What sins does Paul link with idleness? Tattling? Gossiping, busybody, 1 Timothy 5:13. We don't want to be any of those, right? They're all similar anyways, but all basically no good in them. Don't get involved in those. Number four, why did Jesus call the rich man, and what did Jesus call the rich man? Why did Jesus call the rich man in Luke 12 a fool? Because he made plans. Exactly. He made plans for tomorrow. The day was still there, but he was making plans for tomorrow for his bigger barns, his new crops, and so on and so forth. I think that chapter is about 12 times he refers to himself by saying I or we. He does not say or give God any of the credit at all. None. So then he's told, what good's all that stuff going to do now? You're not going to be here tomorrow. Your life is coming to an end. What was Felix's mistake? He what? All right. He said, I'm going to wait for a more convenient time to talk to you some more. If he had questions he wanted answers to, he should have asked him then. He had the opportunity. Paul, on the other hand, Paul did not give up on him. He kept coming back. When he was requested to come back, he came back. But he just could not get himself, pull himself together to make anything happen. What was the mistake of the foolish virgins? They failed to solve the problem of time. They didn't come prepared, the five of them, the foolish ones. The five foolish ones were not prepared. They had a lamp with oil in it, and they had an extra oil. They did not have extra oil. The other five that did, they got into this wedding ceremony and got admittance. The five who didn't, they didn't make it because they weren't prepared. Got to keep those lamps burning. Don't let them go out. How can we save time by forgetting? How can we save time by forgetting? Number 7. forget about past mistakes. Don't worry about things that are already gone. And that's right. Don't forget about those past mistakes we've made. They're done, over, forget about it. Keep going in the forward direction. Man's days on are few and full of trouble. Job 14, 1 and 2. The days of our years are 60, which is what? 60. 3 times 20 is 60. And 10, so 70. And if by reason of strength or your health, they be 60, 4 times 20 is 80 years. So you may. And on average, that's Psalms 90 and 10. That's still was a good average thing, I think, when it was this was written. And I think it's still a good average for a lot of places now. 70, 80s. We have a lot of people that live that old now. 100 years ago, and there weren't that many lived that age. Now there are. All the modern medicine has lengthened that time span. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Why? You don't know what's going to bring. God does. God knows everything. We don't know. Number 11, quote the passage that teaches we should apply ourselves to our work. All our might. Do the best job you could possibly do. That's Ecclesiastes 9:10. Some people lose time by loving pleasure more than God. Good, okay. 2 Timothy 3:4. 13, true or false? The psalmist prayed to know how frail he was. True, that's true. That's, I guess I didn't write that one down. The Bible teaches that we should buy back time, or what's the word that's used here? Redeem. Redeem time. That's true. That's true, okay? 15. Paul said we should remember our mistakes and reach for the things which are above, before. False. Remember makes it false, right? Forget. He used the word forget. And 16. Thought quest. If I had only 1 year to live, how would I have spent it? I put down just live fully each day that we are given. Live it in a Christ-like manner. Each day that we're still here, living your life accordingly. Okay? Next week, the problem of employment. Now, even if you're not working, you still had some employment problems along the way before you retired. So we'll talk about that one next week. Okay? That's page 71. That's where it starts. Thanks for your kind attention this evening. Second bell should be ringing any minute. Thanks for your attention. Thanks to everybody online as well. Thank you very much.